You're listening to the Golem Institute podcast series, The Rawi Gems, by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Golem is pleased to announce the Hadith Intensive, an immersive study into the science of Hadith and Sunnah. For more information, visit golem.org/hadith. And jazakallah khair for listening.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Khususan ala sayyidi al-rusuli wa khatim al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-asfiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya amma ba'd. Today, alhamdulillah, we recited Surah Al-Hashr. In Surah Hashr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He describes what happened after the companions migrated from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims had lived in Makkah Mukarramah for 13 years. And for 13 years, the only thing they saw from the leaders of Makkah Mukarramah was hatred and animosity. They had spared no opportunity to torture the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba. Multiple times they had directly struck the blessed body of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he remained patient with them. And for 13 years of the Prophet's life, he remained patient with his community. And after 13 years, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw there was no scope for them to grow, there was a barrier between them and growth, and that barrier had to be overcome. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he opened up the pathway of hijrah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba were guided towards Medina Munawwara. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he migrates to Medina Munawwara, and the Sahaba migrate from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara, you have to understand this was one of the greatest sacrifices a person could make. You're 50 years old, you're 60 years old, and you've developed an empire. You've created your wealth, your house, you've got a property there, all your money is there. And now you have to leave Makkah Mukarramah and go to Medina. When you go to Medina, new people. You're 60 years old, you're too old for new friends. You're so used to your old life, your own sitting place, your own food, your own buddies, visiting the graveyard of your parents, but now you're being told to migrate from Makkah to Medina. That's already hard. The second challenge of migrating from Makkah to Medina is that you will be hunted down, and if you are caught, you will be brought back to Makkah Mukarramah, and this time, chained down. Because the roads of Makkah to Medina were, that there were people scattered throughout, searching for the Muslims that were trying to escape from Makkah and go to Medina. So your life was at risk as well. The second great challenge. The third great challenge of Makkah to Medina, and I find this to be one of the greatest challenges, was that you were starting all over again. You had to leave behind all of your wealth. They didn't have a U-Haul that you could load everything into. They didn't have a wire a transfer model where you can go and wire your money from the Bank of Makkah to the Bank of Medina. They were traveling for their lives, so they had to travel light. The only thing they kept on their rides were maybe some food that would help them get to Medina Munawwara. And literally, they were leaving behind every penny they earned. A person who's 60 years old and today is a millionaire, tomorrow he reaches Medina Munawwara and he has how much money in his account?
Zero.
Zero. How hard is that? Ask yourself this question today, would you be able to make that sacrifice? If you were told to drop everything. And sometimes the hijrah was unique. The hijrah was such that only the husband was able to migrate, but the wife and son couldn't. Sometimes the son migrated, but the parents couldn't. Sometimes the wife went ahead, but the husband was left behind. This happened. You know, families were broken apart because of hijrah. In a single family, there were times where the husband was Muslim, but the wife wasn't. The husband said, the Prophet has now ordered us to migrate, I have to go. And this is a hukum, I have to follow it. And the husband would leave behind, he would go on ahead, and his wife and son would be left behind. And at times, the child would, like I said, the families were separated. So this whole hijrah was very, very, very difficult upon the Sahaba. Until a point where they were all doing hijrah in secrecy. People were quietly leaving Makkah without anyone knowing. They would tell people that, you know, leave Makkah whenever you can, but we will meet 50 miles from now at so-and-so valley, be there. Whoever is there in 3 days, we'll go together to Medina. So secretly they were leaving Makkah and finding their way to the meeting point, and then they were going from there. The one companion who made a big incident out of his migration was Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu said, I never feared anyone in my life before Islam. And I will never fear anyone in my life after Islam, other than Allah. Before it was no one. It was no one before. Umar radiallahu anhu never feared the idols before. He didn't have a special connection with the idols that he worshipped. However, after Islam, he said, the only one I fear now is Allah. So when Umar radiallahu anhu decided to migrate, what does he do? He goes to the Kaaba. He prays two rak'ah there. After praying two rak'ah, he gathers the people together. He says, people of Makkah, gather, I have an announcement. They all gather together. He said, tomorrow, whoever wishes that their mother wake up without a child, and their children tomorrow are orphans, and their wife should be a widow, let them know that I'm doing hijrah now, and if you have the courage to stop me, meet me on the other side of this valley. I'll be waiting there for you. And if nobody comes, then I'm going to go for hijrah. Right? I mean, look at this person's heart. He's going to the enemy's face in the middle of them and saying, if you have the courage to stop me, just come there. You know, I think to myself after I read the lives of Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, and the great Sahaba, that only if we had someone like that in the Ummah today. Only if we had one person with a heart like that, only one person who can match the heart of Abu Bakr, who is leaving his family behind. Abu Bakr, when he did hijrah, by the way, he didn't do hijrah with his family. His daughter, Asma radiallahu anha, was actually left behind. And then one narration actually mentions that when Abu Bakr was leaving, his daughter Asma said, what about me? So he said to her that this journey with the Prophet, I'm doing hijrah with the Prophet, and it's by invite only. The invite isn't extended to you. And then he also tells her that my daughter, I can't leave the Prophet for you either. This is a tough situation, my daughter or the Prophet. He tells the daughter, I can't leave the Prophet for you either, because if you gave me the entire world full of gold, I wouldn't trade it to the hijrah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is my chance to be with the Prophet. And he leaves his daughter behind and he goes on with his hijrah. And then you have men like Ali radiallahu anh. Ali radiallahu anh, when he did hijrah, you know how he did hijrah? Does anyone know? He actually did the full hijrah on his foot. You guys understand that? He walked. And when he came to Medina Munawwara, finally when he came to Quba, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Quba. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had told the Sahaba that I will not enter into Medina until Ali comes first. I'm waiting for him. And he waited in Quba for almost a week. And Ali radiallahu anhu, when he came, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so happy that day, so happy. And the Sahaba say, when we looked at Ali's feet, his feet were covered in blood. And they were bruised and they were torn up because his slippers had even lost hope on him. He walked all the way from Makkah to Medina. I mean, look at this man. What hijrah meant to them? What hijrah actually meant? And when they gather into Medina Munawwara, now they're in Quba. And as they enter into Medina Munawwara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us that the Ansar, those who are waiting in Medina Munawwara, they open-handedly, open-heartedly, they accepted them. And they brought them into their home. You know, the Sahaba, they say that when we entered into Medina Munawwara, the entire Medina Munawwara was erupting in joy. And they were singing songs, Tala al-Badru alayna min thaniyat al-wada. You know, you have to look at it from the Prophet's perspective. From the Prophet's perspective, he was never welcomed. His Islam was never appreciated before. You know, in Makkah, people didn't sing praise of him. In Taif, they didn't sing his praise. This was the first time even the Prophet is experiencing this. And as he's entering into Makkah, there's like this roar of people waving their hands and they're saying, Ya Rasulullah, come to my house. Ya Rasulullah, come to my house. And the kids and the girls in particular, the hadith mentioned, right? They started singing with their dufuf, Tala al-Badru alayna, that the moon has come to us. Not just any moon, Badr. Badr is the?
Full
moon. They're describing the Prophet. And every person is coming to the Prophet, they're saying, O Messenger of Allah, come to my house. O Messenger of Allah, come to my house. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Da'uha fa'innaha ma'mura. Let my camel go whichever direction she wishes to go, because Allah has ordered her where to stop. The GPS coordinates of my destination have already been installed inside the Naqa. It's already inside the camel. It's going to take me where I need to go. And when the camel sat down, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, he came forward and said, O Messenger of Allah, today I'm honored that you're staying at my house. And the people of Medina Munawwara, they were so, in a good way, they were jealous of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, that only if we could be that person. And Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, I have a two-story house. I would like for you to stay on the top floor. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, well, I'm new in Medina and there will be a lot of people visiting me, so I prefer to sleep on the bottom floor. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu said, O Messenger of Allah, how can I violate your honor and sleep on top of you? How can I be on top of you? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it will be more convenient. So then he accepted the order of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is now on top. Him and his wife are on top. There's actually a narration that Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu and his wife were upstairs. And they wouldn't walk knowing the Prophet was asleep. Wherever they were, they would sit there and they wouldn't move because it would make noise and they feared that it would wake the Prophet up. On one narration, there's a mention that one day one of them dropped a bucket of water and they feared the water would go down. So they took the blanket and they threw it on the water and soaked the blanket. And they sat next to each other, embracing each other, saying, because they had nothing else to cover them for the rest of the night. I mean, look at their love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after establishing the foundation in Medina Munawwara, the first thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does, he gathers the Ansar together. He gathers the Muhajirin together. And he says to them that now each of you will become the brother of another person. And the Muhajir Ansari feels his emotions for a second. He has nothing. He's an old man, maybe mid-age, and has nothing left. And now the Ansari Sahabi, imagine his emotions for a second. He's a wealthy person, well-established, everything's there, and now he's being told to split everything he has in half with another person. How many of us can do that today? How many of us can do that? You know, in our culture, teen din ka mehman bhi nahi milta hai. You know, a person can't even stay at our house for 3 days as a visitor. You know, for those of us, I'll share some real talk with you right now. Tell me one person in this crowd who can say that in the past year I had someone come to my house as a guest that wasn't a friend or relative. No, it's unheard of. When we talk about being hospitable, what does that usually connotate? I invited a friend over. I invited a relative over, a cousin of mine over. When's the last time you had someone over who wasn't related to you at all? He probably didn't even speak your dialect. You and him probably had animosity in the past, people of Mecca and Medina. But here now they're bringing them into their houses. And Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, the famous narration, he was a multimillionaire and he had left his empire behind. He comes to Medina Munawwara and his buddy, the Ansari who joined him, the Madani companion, he said to him, that I give you half of my wealth. What does Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu say? Thank you, brother, you keep your money. He said, Dullani ala suq, show me where the market is. And Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, when he goes to the market, and this man, he was such a successful businessman, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding Abdurrahman, that if he touches soil, he could turn it into gold. You guys understand that? If he touches soil, he can turn it into? He could turn it into gold. My teacher used to say, yeah, you know, tum maiman unki rohani aulad ho. Maimans are a tribe of people from India. That's my clan, right? So he used to say that you guys are his spiritual kids, because maimans are known for being good businessmen. He says, tum maiman unki rohani aulad ho, that you're their spiritual kids. Because Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, anything he touched it would turn into wealth. And he, all of a sudden, he comes in Medina Munawwara, a few days pass by, and what is Abdurrahman doing? Anyone know? He's already married. Yeah. And the Prophet, he didn't even tell the Prophet. He got married. The Prophet saw his hand and said, Abdurrahman, what's all this coloring? He said, Messenger of Allah, I had my party last night, I got married. The Prophet said, invite. Which is another question, very interesting point. I mean, this is a joke. The Prophet said that, you know, if you got married, Aliluha, and what did he say? Awlim walaw bishatin. He said, Awlim walaw bishatin. He said, announce it. Let everybody know that you got married and do walima even if it's by slaughtering one goat. Awlim walaw bishatin. Give walima even if it's one goat. And we learn from this how simple nikah was then. A close companion of the Prophet, Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anh, he gets married and the Prophet didn't even know. Abdurrahman said, I got need to get married, have money in my account, there's a girl right there, let's do it, bismillah. And she gets married to him, he gets married to her, and it's done. So these companions, you know, they had their unique challenges when they came to Medina Munawwara. Now one day what happened was that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in the masjid. And one man comes to the Prophet, he says, O Messenger of Allah, I haven't had food in 3 days. Today at iftar time, how did you guys feel? How did you feel today? Hungry, right? Everyone was hungry. I came maybe 2 minutes later and everyone was asking, did you do iftar? Did you do iftar? I said, bro, it's only been 2 minutes. You know, we're in comfortable, nice air-conditioned rooms. This sahabi hasn't had food for 3 days. And he says, O Messenger of Allah, I'm really hungry. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, let's figure this out. He tells one of his companions, can you go ask my wife, whose house is there, if there's any food at home? He goes to that wife's house. She says, there's nothing at home at all. Imagine a home that has what? Nothing. Nothing means not even dates. Nothing in the pantry. No dry food. No candy. No bread. No milk. Nothing. Their pantry was empty. The freezer was empty. The kitchen was like someone just moved in right now into a new home. It was absolutely empty. The Prophet said, okay, you know what? If she doesn't have anything, go to the second wife. He went to the house of all the wives one by one, and what did each one say? Nothing at home. And the Prophet, what does he say? Does he say, now I'm worried about myself? No. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then says, okay, this sahabi is hungry, we have to deal with this. Look, the Prophet was like a father to the sahaba too. He's worried about making sure everybody gets their meal. So he's saying, someone has to feed him. He says, who will feed him today? So when sahabi was there, he said, O Messenger of Allah, I'll take him home. So he takes the sahabi home. When he goes home, he tells his wife, the Prophet sent a guest with me. We cannot disappoint the Prophet or the Prophet's guest. What's on the menu today? So she says, there's only a little food and I actually saved that for our kids. They're going to be hungry. So he says, look, when night comes, put the kids to sleep. After putting them to sleep, cook the food, prepare it, and put it in front of me and the guest. You sit on the other side of the barrier. And then when we sit down to eat, extinguish the lamp. So there's no way to see. I'll act like I'm eating, and he'll eat all the food that's there. Allahu Akbar. Can you guys imagine this for a second? Can you imagine that? All this planning to make sure that one person has a complete meal. That night, that Sahabi, he slept hungry. His wife slept hungry. And the most painful thing for those of us that are parents here, his kids also went to sleep hungry. And the morning they woke up, he passes by the Prophet. He's trying to keep it straight, like nothing happened. And the Prophet smiles at him and says, "Do you think you can do such a beautiful act and Allah won't tell me?" And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. And they give preference over themselves to others, even if what they have is the bare minimum. Then the next ayah, Allah says, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِي. Right? وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِي. Whoever is saved from shuh is bakhil, bukhl, miserliness. Whoever is saved from being stingy, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Those people are truly successful. So stinginess is not a part of faith. The Prophet ﷺ said in one narration, iman and stinginess cannot gather together in one person. They're opposites of each other. So as Muslims as well, we should learn from the example of the Sahaba رضوان الله تعالى مجمعين. We should learn from the Ansar. And this generosity of the Ansar, by the way, I want to tell you one thing. This generosity of the Ansar, it had an impact on the Prophet for as long as he lived. Before the Prophet passed away, when he gave his last khutbah, you know what the Prophet said? The last khutbah for Dhuhr Salah, the Prophet gave of his life. He turned to the Muhajirin, he said to them, "Always look after my Ansar. They took care of us at a time where we needed help. We will never forget them." And then at one time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he distributed extra money to the Muhajirin. You know, not only the Muhajirin, but those who were new to Islam, the people from Makkah Mukarramah, at the conquest of Taif. So some Ansar begin to say that now that Makkah has been conquered, it feels like the Prophet's going to move back to Makkah now. We're going to be left all alone. So when the Prophet heard this, he gathered all the Ansar together. He made an announcement that the Ansar should gather. All the Ansar gathered together. And he said, no one other than the Ansar could be inside the room. And when they got inside, the Prophet stood up and he said to them, "Ansar, how dare you think I would ever leave you? You guys are my family now." And then he said that if Ansar were to take a pathway, and the rest of the world was to take another pathway, which pathway would I follow? The Ansar. Right? The Prophet said, we will follow the Ansar. So my dear brothers and sisters, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes us into the Ansar. Kunu Ansar Allah. Be the helpers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be the helpers of the Ummah. Be helpers of each other. Be there to support each other. We should be there as a structure is. Be there to give each other support and be there to take care of each other, to look after each other. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala develops these beautiful characteristics inside us as a Sahaba had, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrects us with them on the Day of Judgment. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum.